Hello, all you beautiful pie charmers. This is Early Access Pie Charm, a podcast of indefinite length, where I, Nafiel Islam, talk to the people behind Pie Charm and get an understanding of what goes into making an IDE. My first guest is Alexei Knyazev, a proud member of the Pie Charm team. So, Alexei, it's that time of year again. We're releasing PyCharm 2020.2, but before we get into the details, tell me a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to the audience.
My name is Alexei. I'm living in St. Petersburg, where the majority of PyCharm team is located. And in PyCharm, I'm working mostly on coding side, which is how we understand your code and provide you with all those refactorings and fixes. And I'm also working on web framework support like Django and Flask.
So folks, let me just make this clear. Alexei is the go-to guy for Django and Flask. So if something doesn't work, it's his fault. Right, Alexei?
Well, thank you for that.
So yeah. Okay, so let's get into it. Tell us, we're making a new release. So tell us about this particular release. What are we focusing on this particular release? And what is your favorite feature in this release?
I would say that we are focusing on surfacing our existing features. Of course, we are building new ones as well. But in my opinion, PyCharm has a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah,
that,
agreed.
That people might not know about, just because it's deep and you have to know it to use it. So we are basically trying to see what we can do to make this stuff really visible, which is exactly my favorite feature of this release, and it's the in-place refactoring. So we had the refactorings and the renaming since the dawn of time, but this time borrow this feature from IntelliJ IDEA that had this in the previous release. You don't have to press some shortcut to do this. You just go to your function, just rename it, and you would see the icon to the left of your function in the gutter. You can press this, and you would actually rename all those occurrences across your code base. So, and if you don't want to use your mouse, you can just hit Alt Enter and do this with keyboard only. And I really love this because that really fits into the development cycle. You don't have to think about what do you have to press to rename stuff. You just do this, and we try to help you do this correct.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there are two things that I try to focus on every single time I teach somebody new about PyCharm, is that, look, there are only two shortcuts that you really need to know about. One is Alt-Enter, and the other is Shift-Shift. If you can remember those two, all the other doors will be open.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because after you press in Shift-Shift, you can actually type the name of any action and get it working.
Yeah, that was the idea behind it. I think I abuse it in many cases. I use it for everything, and people often shout at me, hey, you could have used that shortcut. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to remember all those shortcuts. I'm just going to press shift shift. What are you going to do about it? So, okay. So this time, you know, we already have a lot of code completion for Django. So, you know, we thought that we'd add even more code completion. I mean, you know, it's been a good idea so far. So tell us a little bit more about your setting. Your settings.py code completion that you've baked in.
Yeah, you can never have enough code completion, right? So settings.py in Django is your configuration file where you type all different constants and change their values to configure your Django project. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of those constants. And remembering them all is probably not worth it. And why would you do that? So we just provide you completion for all those constants that exist.
And they get a cool new logo as well, don't they? So that
yeah,
you know it's
true.
Django. So, and about the Flask shell, so essentially PyCharm supports different kinds of shells, right? So we have the IPython shell, the normal shell, the Django shell, and now we have the Flask shell, which understands your Flask application. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's correct. So basically, we have our Python interpreter tool window that just presents you with your REPL where you can play around with your Python project. And we just provide a code completion and some intelligent stuff for that. And we already have this for Django, where your Python interpreter tool window actually launches the built-in Django shell that you can do stuff in the context of your Django application. And now we've done the same for Flask. So you're clicking Python interpreter, you're launching your Flask shell.
So, Alexei.
Yeah.
There are, I don't know how many features on UTrack that people want the PyCharm team to build. So how do you figure out what to build and what not to build?
Well, there are many factors, really. So there's our general vision for PyCharm and what direction we want it to go. We try to update it regularly. There's a user feedback that we take into account. There's, as you said, we have a public issue tracker, and we have lots of feature requests there. And we monitor them, and we look at how many people vote for them, and we take this into account as well.
Yeah,
it's a... it's a lengthy process. We just try to take as many stuff into account when deciding what to build next. It's also a question of how many people can benefit from this feature.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to focus on features that would benefit as many people as possible.
Wow. So essentially, there's no distinction between a pro feature and a community feature. We just focus on, you know, what is most beneficial for people.
Yeah, I would say so. For example, I'm working on web frameworks that are a pro feature, and I've do some stuff that would go only to the pro version, but I'm working on Code Insight as well that would go into community and would be available to everybody using PyCharm, no matter what version.
So speaking about
those
that,
are
So speaking about that, there was this one feature that you were telling me about that you're really proud of, which was the way we do requirements.txt, and that is available for both pro and community edition, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We added this the last release. You can use the action that is called sync Python requirements and generate your requirements.txt file. It doesn't sound much when you just say it because you can use pip freeze and achieve this, but we actually do more than that. We go and look at your actual project, mm-hmm. look at what packages you're actually using and what are just transitive dependencies of those packages. And we generate the requirements file using only the packages you're actually using. So that it's really neat and doesn't have the stuff that you don't need to care about.
Yes, and this is really, really useful because if you are just using a normal requirements.txt file and you install IPython, you don't need IPython in production, you know?
That's true.
So it's really quite helpful to have something like this. And it's a community feature. So this was something really surprising to me when I first joined JetBrains, is that we care about the pro features as much as we care about the community features. And that's something amazing to see. And that's not something that you see in many other companies.
Yeah, I agree.
So last question, Alexei, for the next release, is there anything that you can tell us? Is there anything that you're excited about?
Well, I'm personally working on redesigning the whole story around packaging and the way we install packages and display and visualize the installed packages. We try to bring it closer to the surface so that it would be easier to use and provide more useful suggestions for people using it.
Okay. Well, with that, Alexey, thank you very much for joining us. And
thank you.
We hope to see you in the next release. And thank you for listening. If you want more of these podcasts, let us know on Twitter.